Hello, my name is Nariba Shepherd.
And this is Justin Arnett Graham.
And this is Terms of Service.
We're doing it, baby.
Yes, we are.
Yes, absolutely.
And on this glorious Sunday, we've gathered with our showmen.
On this day that we are here,
With Max.
Descended upon you. Hello, Max. How are
Wait,
you doing?
Wait, no, say more than howdy.
Oh, I'm doing all right.
Yeah. Wonderful.
What are we doing here, y'all? This is a check-in.
Mm-hmm.
This is a crew check-in.
Checking up with each other.
It's sort of like at restaurants when they're like, you'll have an evaluation in 6 months, but then it never happens. But we're like remembering to evaluate ourselves.
Oh yeah, like so is this the review?
I think this might be the review.
This is the review? Okay, well, I'd like to start off with, you know, each one of y'all get fives across the fucking board, okay?
Thank you.
Shit.
Yeah, so.
I would have to agree for you. I actually think you get a five across the board and a gold star. Because you have to put it all together.
Oh, well, stop it.
You get the gold star for effort.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's the effort that keeps me going. So, thank you.
We're all remembering to try.
Mm. We're committed to the try.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. So my friends that are listening out here, we took a moment to really check in with how we're doing, how we're feeling. We have recorded quite a slew of episodes,
mm-hmm.
and it's been great. It's been a journey. It's been also really fulfilling and therapeutic. And we do not have a guest this time because
we're just gonna
chat and, you know, really, really open this up to be about the community in which the hospitality experience lives, while also reminding everyone that is tuning in that the hospitality experience is not limited to bars and restaurants,
mm-hmm.
and traditionally hospitality-centric environments. It is literally all facets of anyone's life and also a working environment. And I want to just touch upon a few episodes that we have done that we would love to highlight. We love every episode the same, so don't do that. We just want to talk about what we have resonated with,
mm-hmm.
and again, remind every single one of y'all that are tuning in, we appreciate you. And also, this is your podcast.
Yep.
This is your platform. These examples, these experiences are not reserved for us. It is shared amongst you all.
For sure.
So let's get into it.
I'm just like bringing up our list of episodes,
uh-huh.
so that like I can say the name, because in my brain is like the conversations.
Yeah.
But every title
for
is
sure.
different.
Yeah, so Nariba, where do you want to start?
I want to start with my all-time favorite, mm-hmm. which is for sure our 001 episode.
The accountability advisor.
With mm. Joey.
Yes, Flavor Supreme.
Yes.
So much fun.
The Zaddy yes. of the cakes.
Yes, Zaddy.
For me, I love that episode because it was a confirmation, but also showed the growth of like thinking about the industry outside of its original structure.
Absolutely.
And by original structure, I mean what's happening right now, because the original structure was people doing this from their homes as a source of livelihood,
yep.
And also as a source of like building community.
Right.
And I really appreciate not only like what the words in that episode did for me, but also like the relationship that I now have with Joey outside of it.
Amazing.
And it's helping to keep me accountable in like owning my own power,
mm-hmm.
and like taking risks that other people don't consider risks.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, as someone who like doesn't do anything unless I know I can win, this is
oh.
a risk.
Oh, okay.
This is a risk,
mm-hmm.
which I'm going out on the win and saying that, like, limb, not whim, limb, and saying that, like, I did not walk into being on this podcast with a level of confidence of, like, we can do this, but, like,
because
now that we are
minding your own business.
I was just minding my own business, and here we are, like,
doing the thing.
Almost a year to when you asked us to do the podcast, and I'm like, I feel very comfortable doing this now. Right. So, like, you know.
Yeah.
God. I think that's really interesting because I approach things where you don't do it if you can't win. And I have a very different approach to creativity where I often go for the bad idea first because it's the most fun. And then something else important is learning how to fail. And I think I've gotten very comfortable in that kind of mentality where it's like, let's find out the hiccups. Let's find the speed bumps.
I don't want none of that.
And I think something that for me has resonated, Brian and Thomas are two of the people, two of my favorite guests, because it is kind of, it's folks who have had the opportunity to fail and have built something new. And in tandem with hearing their stories about bettering themselves and finding a way to win from a bad place in the opposite, where Reba, you're used to always doing things if you can win and only
yes,
that.
Only
I'm
that
coming from the opposite win, and all of a sudden we're doing something that's cool and fun and transformative and productive and learning how to
productive
be absolutely in a space where you know that you're doing well is cool.
Yeah.
It's been nice to be there with friends.
Amazing.
Mm. What about you, though, Justin?
Mm-hmm. Boss man.
Well, I just want to mention that the two episodes that Max just alluded to with Ryan Pfeiffer of Big Kid Chicago, that
great sandwiches, by the way.
For real.
Stop it. Absolutely. Like, you know, round of applause. It's the Empowered Empath. And then also the reality of hospitality with Thomas Mooneyham. And when I think of all of the topics that we have covered in such a short but impactful period of time, I mean, I can talk about like literally like every single episode, but specifically, I just, like, one of the things that I keep going back to is like the social effect and like social media and its effect on the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there are even more examples of that now, because social media has been quite a unique tool in kind of inspiring the workforce to get back to work.
Yeah.
But also being quite skewed as to like the reality of what hospitality work is all about. And yeah, again, that's that is the social effect with Lexi Tomczyk, and it is well worth a listen or re-listen. Again, all of these are just off the cusp of what we're thinking, but every single episode has its value, it has its impact, and it's collectively necessary.
Yeah.
And also, I'll never be able to get the conversation from Alon Miguel Mades Green.
The undocumented experience.
That was such a candid and raw conversation of what is often felt like an overlooked and unnecessary part of the industry, when it's truly built off the backs of those that are experiencing that reality every fucking day.
Yeah.
And but then when I just keep going deeper and deeper, it's like I think about, you know, the cost of waiting and, you know, financial
also
wellness.
That would be like nothing. I was about to be like, that'd be a great name for an episode.
Most certainly. And we did not name Rakita's episode The Cost of Waiting.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about like the withholding of information.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, because when you are withholding information in regards to financial wellness, you are ensuring that only one part of the experience is protected.
Yeah.
While the other half of the experience is exposed.
Yeah.
And that has always been a very, very, very unique element for me when it comes to the overall aspect of mental health,
mm-hmm.
because mental health can feel like a blanket statement. We have an upcoming episode that talks about mental health and just the entirety of that statement very, very soon. But financial wellness, financial health is, I mean, it's like the toothache of mental health.
Yeah, it's like very integrated in a sense, because people don't even realize that
it's all you can think about.
But a lot of people don't know that,
right?
That their stress is coming from not having enough. But that's also like on a like sociology level, that's also because society is telling us we need way more than we have access to,
and we want that. And then also withholding information to figure out ways of like just
bettering
labor
yourself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bettering yourself, because you could be performing the exact same job within the exact same building,
mm-hmm.
within the exact same concept, and compensation is wild across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And just that, you know, societal stigma of, I mean, you're not supposed to talk about money. It's just like, bitch, I am going to talk about money, because money is necessary. And we, unfortunately, are not living in a society to where money is not necessary.
Yeah.
And we were blessed with this planet that, you know, we could just be like kicking it for free, drinking wine, and like, you know, probably just walking around naked, which, you know, shout out to y'all if that's what you want to do. But it's like, we've created these structures that are challenging beyond belief.
Girl.
And it's...
Yes. I agree with you.
So it's like the way to kind of combat that bullshit is to turn it right back around. Turn it right back around and be like, all right, well, you know, education is power. Knowledge is power.
Listen.
And...
One time I took too many hallucinogenics and I stood outside of a meter box and watched a little spinny thing happen. And I got irrationally upset about the idea that we are humans. We got here.
Absolutely.
And we just started creating shit for each other to do.
Yeah.
And now here we are.
And here we are.
Here we are.
And here
because
it is.
Of a lifetime of like separating to divide and conquer, yep. so that like labor isn't as extensive for certain people. And like now I'm just like, we have math for no reason, we got money for no reason.
Well, I mean,
12
you know,
hours, we have a 24-hour day with 12-hour cycles. Like, who came up with that?
Right. And also it's just like, I feel sometimes with people and their point of views, you know, they need to be walking around with an abacus, actually. It's just like, because can't tell them nothing. Like, don't get me started there. But this conversation is, it's a mini episode.
Yeah. Know?
It's a bite. It's a bite size.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ask me.
So from the beginning of doing this whole situation, Terms of Service Podcast.
Real industry, real talk, no bullshit.
You damn right.
Absolutely.
What would you say is the thing that you didn't think you were going to learn starting this?
I mean, there's quite a few. I will lead with saying that I didn't realize how damaged I was from my experience in hospitality. And just from a leadership perspective, I always, you know, want to be mindful of, you know, the empathy that I have for the crew, the empathy for my colleagues, such as you both. But then making that decision has like minimized my experience, and per every conversation that we've had, it's helped me feel like, you know, I do have a place in the context of hospitality that is not only linear and restricted to the front of house experience.
Has there been anything in your history in the industry, Justin, that we haven't been able to talk about on the podcast yet that you still want to
touch your porn.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few things. I mean, there has been, you know, blatant homophobia that has been directed my way. There has been blatant racism directed my way, and I will say that it really manifests itself in a multitude of different ways. And the reason why I say that is because if you have been with us since the beginning of Terms of Service, I have been very vocal about my experience within the hospitality spectrum has not been traditional. Mm-hmm. For people that look like me, that people that like identify as I identify, and it's been internally challenging to come to those realizations and being just like, well, god damn it, like they just didn't fuck with me. And also it's like when I'm hired to do X amount of work to help elevate a hospitality centric brand and things aren't staying in line with what everyone's opinions are, and mm-hmm. I want to, you know, really have a transparent conversation. It's like, all right, what went wrong?
Yeah,
like what happened? I mean, we're all human, so that's what it is. It's like either someone dropped the ball or like there was miscommunication, something that happens. But you know, you refuse to take a meeting about
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
You, as a Michelin star chef, you make a passive aggressive comment about, you know, the color of glasses that I may be wearing because it's giving you some sort of vibe. And it's like, it's a level of comfortability and it is a lack of accountability
mm-hmm.
that allows people to keep doing that bullshit. And I will be getting into that more as we progress, but also I like to remove myself from a lot of situations and provide opportunities for those to talk about their experiences. Mm-hmm. And I've identified with like being like the broke ass fuck server while also making a fuck ton of money. And it's just like, bro, what the fuck were you doing?
Yeah.
What were you doing with all of that coin? What were you doing? But then also, when I think about the undocumented experience, and when I say specifically when a lot of front of house individuals will walk through the kitchen and not even acknowledge anyone around them because they don't seem to matter because it doesn't touch their ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Have I been that person? Sadly, yes.
It'd be that way sometimes.
And that bums me the hell out. And also, it makes me realize how much I was craving a familial structure.
Mm.
And that is why I allowed myself to tolerate certain things.
Yep.
And with the place of acknowledgement that I am now, it just really propels me to keep doing this work even more, because you have to fucking talk about it, because when you don't fucking talk about it, it doesn't seem to fucking matter.
Yep.
And it's just like, it matters now.
It only matters until it matters to you.
Mm.
And like, the more that you start to give a shit about something and you start looking into why you feel that way, the more change can happen.
Right.
And I want to say that we haven't just forgotten about racism and homophobia in the industry.
Yeah.
We're waiting
to get to there.
Got some. Those are big pills to swallow.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm, you mm-hmm, know, mm-hmm, just mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know. Like I feel like, you know, I honestly feel like I'm such in a positive space, not only professionally, but like personally. And I really believe that like Terms of Service has helped me get to that point, because when you're in your head so much, you rationalize shit
uh-huh.
that isn't necessarily like the reality of the reality.
Yeah.
You're just placating yourself and it just becomes like this, you know,
vicious cycle.
Yeah. You're like the hamster. You're the hamster on the wheel.
Yeah.
And I would like to, you know, kind of forward that same question from Max to you, Nariba.
Mm. I feel like I talk about things like a lot.
Yeah, and I feel like you're like you've been super like I'm trying to be more like forthcoming. I just like
I think it's just because I have a therapist. I'm super forthcoming because I'm talking about this shit like once a week.
And well, I keep realizing that there are things that I have just like buried deep down to where like once I hear someone say it, I was just like,
oh, right. That happened.
That happened. Yep. I was like, that happened. I was like, it might have happened 8 years ago. Totally happened. And that's where I feel like I walk a fine line. I grew up with a lot of trauma. I grew up with a lot of anxiety. And when that happens and you feel alone,
mm-hmm.
you start making up excuses as to like
why
you will tolerate
mm-hmm.
certain things. And it's like, it doesn't really prompt something in me until someone says something that I identify with. And it's not to just like, oh, well, I'm totally going to like connect with this person on that. It's like, I now feel comfortable to talk about something that has happened to me. And that is why with an upcoming episode, we're going to talk about the idea of family in hospitality and the intentionality behind that word within the spaces of hospitality and why it can be detrimental, because you're literally connecting with people that they're from all walks of life. They may not come from the best household, the best upbringings.
You have to leave space for people because you don't know what they're walking through the door with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it becomes a comfortability statement from you, from an organizational standpoint. And it also becomes this, it can become a manipulation metric for those that are with you.
And yeah.
Just like, yeah, I don't know. And as I'm sitting here and like talking, it's just like, I'm getting like low key emotional because like, I'm just allowing myself to like feel the feelings of
and
like
think about everything it. Yeah.
That like we've talked about. And I'm just like, oh, yo, like that was super dope that we were on like the James Beard, clubhouse, which is like crazy.
The closest I'll ever get to the James Beard Foundation is
we're gonna
mental
get booked
health.
Again. We're gonna be booked again. We're gonna
I'm
be
just again. Saying, I like,
mean, so yeah, and it's awe inspiring that it's just like, oh shit, but then also it's just kind of like, it's almost like this trauma exchange.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, how much you have to put. Out like how much you have to put of yourself out there for like people, organizations
to realize,
you know,
that
to realize
this is bigger
that,
than them.
Yeah, that it's bigger than everything that you've been doing.
I guess going back to Max's question about like not necessarily like what I haven't spoken about yet, but I think my takeaway, I guess, from this situation is I think very often about the fact that I really tried to justify everything that was happening to me at the time of like working in the food service industry as this is all like part of it. This is like all part of the experience. What I've learned in the last year of doing the podcast is that it's really scary for people to leave what they've known their entire life.
Absolutely.
You know? And I think that because the hospitality industry is so ingrained in us, even before, like, even if you don't work in the food service industry, it's something that you grew up with, and the family structure thing is the one that I would say we all know it exists, but we don't think about it in the way that we put up healthy boundaries with our own family as adults.
Right.
We don't do that with work. because even though they're telling us it's a family, we understand that there are rules and regulations there that do not exist out of it. Yeah. And so I think, like, my takeaway from everything is, like, really picking and choosing the environment and the people that you want to commit spending so much time to, because if you're not allowed to be your authentic self, you're going to compromise parts of your mental health because you're trying to fit into a structure that wasn't made for you.
Absolutely. And I feel like that's just a perfect point to, like, wrap this up, because this is a mini episode, y'all.
Yeah, and just checking in.
You know, we're just checking in. We want to know how you're doing. Max, you're still doing good?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing great.
Wonderful, amazing. So this is, you know, we'll just make sure that we title this the industry vibe check.
Yeah, vibe check.
We get a lot of DMs. Which we absolutely love. And, you know, this is a community of a narrative. Yeah. So share your thoughts, your concerns, the things that you want to hear.
Yeah.
The things that you want to hear, the things you want to talk about. Hit us up at connect@termsofservice.media. And I mean, your input helps us really curate this curriculum.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't be here without
you. Damn. The school, we got a curriculum and shit. We out here learning.
Curriculum. Dang. You know, ain't no syllabus though. It's fine. but yeah. On that note, we could not be here or have gotten to this point without the community of hospitality.
True.
Our amazing, amazing sponsors, which you have heard who they are multiple times. Again, shout out to Blind Barber for hosting us. Also, Athletic Brewing, Ritual Beverage, Monday Gin, as well as Ashley Christine of Garnet, the Bico documentation team, which is Rick Hernandez, Dason Roa, Travis Barron. I mean, the list goes on and on about what it takes to make this a reality, and I am eternally grateful. And again, we're just getting started. And in closing, for me, this is Justin Arnett Graham. You can find me on Instagram under What's Bico, and I'll see you out there.
My name is Nariba Shepherd. You can find me at Rebaru on the gram, Rebaru. And jobless or jobless, I guess.
Sick.